Well, good morning, church. We are glad that you are here. My name is Kirk Earhart. I am lead pastor. Kids, you are dismissed for Kids Zone. Have fun. Be kind. No hitting this week. I don't know. I just make stuff up. Before we get into our sermon time, we're going to do a few announcements that we have. The first announcements we have is about AGM. We are coming up to the time of our annual general meeting. I'm looking forward to it. It's my first one with you. Yay! Very exciting. It's going to be on March 10th, which is Sunday. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m. This event is open to everybody to come and hear what's going on. We're going to talk a little bit more about our dreams and hopes for the building. We're going to talk a little bit about some changes in our policy. We're going to talk and have some fun voting things. Now, only members can vote, but everybody is welcome. And actually, I want to encourage everybody to attend because there is something special about being together while exploring what God is doing and what God we believe God is going to do. So put that in your calendars. March 10th is coming up, and we want to invite all of you to participate with us in it. Well, that change, the elders came up with that time, which means there's a small change. So if you were thinking about doing the Experiencing BPAC course with me, we've had to move that by 1 week. So it was on March 10th, now it's on March 17th. It's going to have lunch provided for anybody who wants to come. It is open to everybody. It's obviously free. It's going to be after church. It's going to be about 2 hours long. And we're going to eat while we do the course to do that. And the point of this course is for you to get a better understanding about our church, about our history, about some of our theology, some of the distinctives about us, and a place to also ask some questions about the church. And so while it's, again, open to everybody, we'd love to have you come. In particular, if you're thinking about membership in any way, this course is a rebranded version of our membership course. So we want to encourage you to come and check it out. It's a requirement for members, but it's also got a lot of really good information in it. And I've been working hard to kind of coalesce it into this course for us. So that's coming up on March 17th, which I know it's beginning of spring break weekend. But if you're around and you want to participate, we'd love to have you. And then Mission Sunday is coming up, and that's next week. And I am so excited about this. We're going to have a conversation with one of our missionary families that is in another country. We're figuring out a way to do a live Zoom call during our church service as our teaching time with them. And so we'll be able to ask them questions. I've given them a list of some things that we're going to talk about. And we're also going to have a prayer guide, so how you can pray for them, their family, their ministry, that we will have for you that Sunday. So because of that, if you're one of the blessed who watch us online, we will not be having a live stream for that Sunday because we need to protect our missionaries because some of them are working in places that are a little hostile to Christianity. And so therefore, what we are going to do is I'm going to have a video teaching of some sort that will premiere on our YouTube channel for all of you who would like to receive an encouragement from the Word of God. And so if you're from our church, you aren't getting that message unless you go and check it out, which is a really good excuse for you to then go like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I'm just saying, two birds, one stone. So we'd love for you to check that out. And if you are in the area and this is a kind of your church family, we'd love for you to make sure you're present next week to engage with our mission couple. And so that's kind of it for the main announcements. A couple little things. If you're in the pews, you may see a little brochure-y thing I made up. And it's just about baptism. If any of you might be thinking about baptism, this is a little pamphlet I made up that's got a bunch of questions in it, like what is baptism and what does it mean? When can I get baptized? Who should get baptized? All that sort of stuff. We can easily print these. These are for you to take. They're in the pews in front of you. If you're online, on our website, if you go to events, on our website, you can see baptism there, and it's got a bigger form of this that actually has more in it, including how to write your story, plus all this information. So if you're thinking about baptism, if God's wrestling with you with that, we'd love to be able to do that. Easter's coming, just saying. Love to do that for Easter. We'd love to be able to encourage you with it. So if you have questions, check this out. Come and talk to me. We would love to go over that a little bit more. And just finally, I want to say thank you as your pastor, just as, for all of the generosity you as a church give financially to this church. We don't take up offering every week. We don't make a big deal out of it, but we just wanted to let you know too, if you're somebody who gives in person or wants to, we do have a couple of relatively new boxes in the back that you can, that are secure, that you can drop your offering into. And if you're online and you want to support our ministry and what we're doing, check out our donations page on our website, and that'll give some information of how you can give online, which is probably how most people do these days. But we are just so grateful for the ways that you support us here as a church. Well, before we get into the Word of God, if it's okay with you, now that we're doing done announcements, I'm just going to take a moment and pray. Pray with me, will you? Heavenly Father, you are just so good, and we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you for today, for the opportunity you give us now to sit in your Holy Spirit and just hear your voice speaking to us. And I pray that, God, you might speak through me this morning into the hearts of people here at the church, that you would encourage us and challenge us and draw us into your presence even here and now. If there's something for anybody in this room or something for somebody online this morning or whenever they're watching this, I pray that you would just stir that up for them and just make it very clear that you're speaking to them. Thank you for this time. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be ever pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer. It's in your name we give this sermon time to you as an offering of your goodness. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, we've been in a teaching series that is called Missio Dei, and today we're going to finish that series out. Missio Dei is a Latin term. It means the mission of God. And for the last 7 weeks, we have been looking at our vision and our mission and our values here as a church. And it's been my hope is that this has been a season, a time, a series that has first and foremost encouraged you in your faith, helped you grow a little closer to Jesus. That's always the goal, but also that you've gained a little bit of an understanding about what's been driving us as elders, what is the direction of the church, a little bit about what we're getting passionate about and seeing. And so that's what we've been hoping for this series. Let's take a look at our vision, mission, and values. Let's read them out loud together so that we can cement them deeper in our hearts. Here we go. Ready? Our vision is to see all people fully alive in Jesus and sharing his love with others. Everything we do is about that, is helping you and us both become more fully alive in Jesus. Let's look at our mission. Let's read it together. Our mission is to empower people to grow in a relationship with Jesus through biblical preaching, passionate worship, community service, and intentional relationships. Last week, we began looking at our core values. And so our first two core values are connecting with God in prayer and worship and loving our neighbor. That's where we've been going as a series. So we're just going to jump right in and continue on with our third core value, which is experiencing life transformation. And church, I can look in this room and I can see all of you. I know who you are. So I'm already going to apologize because as a pastor who preaches regularly, you're going to hear my faith story many times. You will be bored of it. So if you need to take a nap right now, you got about 7 minutes to take a little nap if you want. But one of the things I want to talk about when we talk about life transformation is what God has done in my life. See, I didn't grow up in church, right? I think this was a foreign thing for me. Nobody in my family ever went. We didn't even do funerals or weddings at churches growing up. So I was never in church until I was like a teenager was the first time I ever went into one. But I became friends with a pastor's kid. They're the worst. I know. I have a couple of them. But he was a great guy. We're still friends to this day. And he invited me. He had been connected to this church youth group. So his dad was the pastor of a very small church. 15 people. Everybody was related to everybody else. But he was connected to a youth group at the Baptist church, which was much larger, about 150 people at the church, full-time youth pastor, all that sort of stuff. And so he's like, hey, we're going to go laser bowling. Do you want to come? I'm like, psh, I love laser bowling. Let's go. And so I go, and if anybody's from the Vernon area, we were at Polson Lanes, if you remember it. I don't even think it exists anymore, but I went to Polson Lanes. There was two bowling alleys, and I liked one over the other. But we go to Polson because that was where the cool laser bowling was. You guys remember laser bowling, right? With the black lights going and the music pumping and laser lights showing, flashing everywhere. And while I was there, I made a massive discovery. There were girls at youth group. Woo! All right. And I was excited because there was girls there. And so I started talking to some girls. And some girls, they actually talked back to me. Sweet. And so we're making eye contact and flirting a little bit. And I'm like, this is great. And we bowled the night. I had a good time. So I decided I went back the next week. And then I went back the week before again. And then again. And then I learned an amazing truth. Those same girls also got together on Sunday mornings. It's crazy. And so all the youth group kids back in the day, they used to sit in the front two rows, right? All the youth teenagers sat together in the front two rows, mostly so they could chit-chat with other parents around, I think. But I started going, and I started hanging out with them, and I'm going to church. I'm hearing them teaching about Jesus, hearing teaching about Jesus at youth group. And I even started going to the youth Sunday school class before church happened. And this is something about me and my personality. Especially back in the days where their phones weren't a distraction, I was like fully present into what was going on. So I'm answering questions and I'm asking questions and I'm reading the Bible. And I told you guys that story, that did not go out very well for me. But I'm engaging with what's going on here at this Bible Baptist church in Vernon. But that was about 18 months of it. And I was enjoying the community that I built there. I was enjoying what was going on. But the message of Jesus, although I kept hearing it, it wasn't sinking in deep into my core of who I am. There was times I was still lonely. There was times I was still, well, all the time I was purposelessness. I was just floating along and nothing jobs and didn't know what to do with my life, right? I was 18 years old, I think, at the time. That age where you think you know everything, but you really know nothing. And so there's a few things kind of stirring subconsciously for me. And then one day, my pastor kid friend and another Christian friend, a guy named Jeff, they invite me out to Eagle Bay Camp, which is an alliance camp in the Shuswap in Salmon Arm. Great place to go and hang out. And they had a youth retreat going on that weekend, and they opened up on the Friday night for a worship event so that people could come from outside if they wanted and come worship. So they're like, hey, let's go. It's only an hour and a bit from our house, so sure, jump in the car. We drive, and we go out there. And while we're at camp, what do we do? Like, it's kind of like almost like here, where I'm up, and it slopes down on a pretty steep hill, and the stage is kind of down in the front here. And so we go up there, and we're kind of near the back because we're cool kids like that. And then what am I doing? Hands them in my pocket, and I'm looking around. I'm looking around for to see who the pretty girls are around. What's up? And then the weirdest thing happened. I saw a couple really beautiful young women, and they weren't looking at me. Like, I don't know what their problem was. I don't know what was going on, but they were not looking at me at all. And it was perplexing. But then in a moment that is divine, maybe it's the only way to describe it, I looked over at them, and I stopped objectifying them for just a moment. And these two young women were just, their eyes were closed, and their hands were raised, and they were a little swaying back like forth like this, and they were just lost in Jesus. And there was a contentment on their face that I just desperately knew I wanted. I didn't need them. I needed the contentment they had. And so They were on to my right, and I remember I looked forward, and I remember I closed my eyes, which I never did. I'm like most people at church when you're time for singing. It's safety is hands in your pockets, elbows in, because you don't want to hit anybody, elbows in, maybe a little bit of rocking with the music, and eyes up, open, reading the words. But here in this moment, I closed my eyes. And I lifted my hands. And it wasn't one of those things where, you know, people feel like the sense of like, oh, God raised my hands up, like almost like a puppet with strings on your wrist. It wasn't like that. It was a decision, a conscious choice. I saw them doing it, and they had peace, so I'm going to try it. And I closed my eyes, and I raised my hands up. And I didn't say anything profound. I didn't hear anything audibly. But what I felt was all of the air in my lungs just burst out of me. And then, have you ever been like swimming and your head's underwater and you're underwater about 10 seconds, 5, 10 seconds too long? And then you burst up out of it and you go, and that's what it was for me. I was like, and it was instantaneous knowledge that God was real. That Jesus was real. And the next thought was, oh no. Okay, it wasn't those two words. That's my, I'm a pastor now, and in front of church and online, there was other words that were used in that moment. But I knew God was real. And the reason I thought, oh no, is I knew it meant everything was now different. I had been living with a girl that was kind of roommates with benefits, and I came back that night and said, this is wrong, one of us has to move out. And the next day, she grabbed some of her stuff and she took off, and I got the apartment, cha-ching. We were able to, my Christian pastor kid friend moved in with me, and I was working, and now I'm going to church, and now church was different. Sunday was different. Friday night youth group was different than it had ever been, because the stuff that was in my heart that I couldn't even articulate, the struggles that were in there, were completely changed. God took the lack of purpose. He took the loneliness. He took the sadness from that, and he transformed it into joy and into peace into my life. And everything was absolutely different. And then I had to start going through the ongoing transformation. So I was completely and utterly transformed. But then I knew there was also ongoing stuff in my life that I needed to grow through. In church, I'm still in that place. I'm still at the place of finding things in my life. And God is growing me and changing me through it. Because transformation is both an event and it is an ongoing process. You see, church, when a person chooses to follow Jesus, something amazing happens. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, comes and lives inside of us, into that inner person, the core of who we are. And God living in us through the Holy Spirit, it secures our salvation. So that we are forever now a child of God, loved by God, protected by Him. Nothing's going to pull us away and take us from the kingdom of God. We are secure in Him. And we are regenerated, which means that we were spiritually dead, and now we've been made spiritually alive in Christ. And that was both a theology, but now it is an experience for me. Where I didn't even know I was feeling spiritually dead. And then now that I'm alive, I go, oh, that's what it is. That's where it was. And that's the Holy Spirit coming livingness. But church, we each come to the kingdom a little bit differently, don't we? For I came from outside of the church. And when I had that moment, I think two things happened. I knew, because the Spirit came into me, that God was real. But I was also filled with the Holy Spirit that altered my life and changed it. And there are a lot of people who know Jesus, who've grown up probably in the church, who say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I've always believed in Jesus. Some of you might be like that in this room, but you're still waiting for that transformation by the Holy Spirit. You're waiting for that sense that it's not just a head knowledge, and you want to move past the is he real or isn't he real? I'm pretty sure he's real. I've always believed he's real, but what does it mean for me? And you're waiting to receive the Spirit. See, I think there's a lot of Christians who love God and the Holy Spirit lives in them. Their salvation is secure, but they have not been filled with the Spirit in a way that helps them to empower them in their lives, that changes who they are so they experience life transformation. And this is a theology that I'm actually still learning and wrestling and growing in. Because, church, if your theology is set now, then stop coming to church. You're done. We're always trying to grow, right? We're always trying to learn. We're always encountering new things. And so my theology on this is actually beginning to grow and shift a little bit. And I'm recognizing that in the Bible, I see teaching and examples that show people believing and then being filled with the Spirit as two separate things. Look what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And he's talking to the Pharisees. He goes, if you, the religious leaders, though you are evil, sick burn, know how to give good gifts to your kids, then how much more will your Father in heaven give? It's weird. He doesn't say Father in heaven will give gifts to you. He says he'll give the Holy Spirit. But who does he give the Holy Spirit to? Those who ask him. Who gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You see, there's a sense of asking to receive a filling from the Spirit of God. And that filling changes things. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You're going to receive power, transformative power, and you will be my witnesses. You see, that's what the power does. The power gives us a testimony that God has changed things in your life, all right? That he has saved you, that he is what the Christian terminology of sanctified you, which means he's making you more like Jesus. He's bringing things up and he's transforming you. He's giving you freedom from addictions. He's giving you power to be his witnesses around the world, in Jerusalem, and in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then there's a couple of descriptive passages in the book of Acts that I've never really been able to reconcile in my head. There's one in chapter 8 that says, when the apostles heard that the Samaria, which is this little kind of nation, neighborhood north of Israel, who were Jews and Samaritans hated each other. The Jews thought the Samaritans were half-breeds, and so they hated them. And because they did that, the Samaritans kind of hated them back, because I think that's what hate does. Hate generates hate. And so they were never really amazing. That's why Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. It was like shocking in its time frame because of that relationship. But now in Samaria, people had accepted the word of God. They started believing in Jesus. And so they sent Peter and John to Samaria to go check it out. And so they arrived, and there's these new believers. And so they prayed with them. And what are their prayers? It says in Acts chapter 15, or 8, verse 15, when they arrived, they prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They were believers, but they had not received the Spirit. It says because the Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here we have, they were believed enough that they got baptized. They were submerged in water. They said, I'm part of the Christian community. I'm a follower of Jesus now. And yet the Spirit still had not been poured out on him. And so Peter and John placed their hands on these new believers and they prayed for them. And they received the Holy Spirit. And I believe they were indwelt with the Spirit, that they were saved, that they're being regenerated. But the Spirit had not come upon them in power yet. And then there's another example of that story in Acts chapter 19, where Paul is on his way to Corinth, and he stops in Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, some followers of Jesus. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And these followers of Jesus said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul goes, well, hold on, you got baptized. What kind of baptism did you have? And they go, well, John the Baptist's baptism. And Paul goes, well, that was a baptism of repentance. And John said, we're going to point to somebody after him. That's Jesus. And so he actually rebaptizes those believers in the name of Jesus. And then when Paul places his hands on them, it says in chapter 19, verse 6, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Some people, like me, experience that first filling of the Holy Spirit when you first surrender your life to Jesus. And it's absolutely transformative. Others, especially I think those who've grown up in church, may need to pray to receive the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit, even though they are already saved. But it's not, I don't think, just for anybody now. I don't think it's about a one-time thing. I think it's a one and continue time, right? We all need to be prayed to be filled with the Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit happens when we believe, and sometimes there's a first filling that happens, a first experience. But there's an everyday filling of the Spirit that you and I can experience. I don't know about if you know this, church, but whenever I come on a Sunday morning, I am praying that I am filled with the Holy Spirit in order to be able to preach to you what God has laid upon me. But I'm starting to learn that I need to pray in the to receive the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit more often. I'm going to be honest and vulnerable here with you. Not yesterday, I think it was the day before. Hannah, my daughter, special needs, had a massive meltdown at home. And sometimes I am a great dad in those moments. This wasn't one of them. I got frustrated and angry. I don't know if anybody has ever been angry at your kids before. And I was so angry and I had to step out of the room. And because of the sermon work I had done that week, I was in my closet. I have a little bit of a mini space in my closet, walk-in space. I was so angry that my hands were tense like this, and you know what I did? I prayed that God would fill me with the Holy Spirit so I could have compassion for my daughter who can't understand. It's driving me nuts, but I needed more compassion. I needed some patience. It's funny, when you ask people like who grow up in church and you know the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and you always ask them, hey, what's the one that you, if you could have more of which one, what would it be? Everybody's answer, 100%. Patience. Nobody has ever said anything different. They have always said patience to me. And in that moment, I was like, yeah, I needed that. And the Spirit came on me. And I was able to then calm down and able to go back to Hannah, who doesn't understand what I'm doing, and apologize to her. Say, I'm sorry, Daddy got it mad at you. The Spirit came on me. She doesn't really understand apology. Her soul wasn't really needing it. My soul was needing to say it. But that's because I'm trying to learn to ask and be filled with the Spirit in my everyday situations so that I can operate and keep in step with the Spirit so I can exude the fruit of the Spirit. Right? My theology says that the truest evidence of the Holy Spirit in someone's life is the fruit of the Spirit. It's more love. It's more joy. It's more peace. It's more patience. It's not the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. That happens sometimes, but I think the majority, it's about the fruit of the Spirit. And even when I gave even in that moment when I knew at Eagle Bay Camp that Jesus and God was real and I had this a moment with the Spirit, what did I experience? I experienced two things primarily, peace and joy. I didn't speak in tongues, right, which is other languages or angelic tongues, depending on your beliefs and theologies, but I experienced that, which then empowers me to do it. When we encounter the Holy Spirit, it transforms us. It helps us to overcome our addictions. It helps us to overcome our bad habits. It helps us to walk in love, in patience, in kindness to others. We need to be people who are praying to be filled with it. So here's a question for you to consider. Are you, church, here in this room, and you maybe online, are you ready to receive the Holy Spirit, to invite the Holy Spirit to fill you, to transform you, to take away your fears, to give you the power you need to overcome the temptations that so easily entangle us, and receive with joy the word implanted into us? Are you ready to invite God to transform you and empower you? But our passage that Brandon read earlier invites a question. What are we being transformed into? Or better yet, who are we being transformed into whom? Who is it? See, the goal of transformation is Christ-likeness. Look what Paul wrote in the passage that Brandon read earlier. I'm going to do a slightly different translation. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For we all, who with unveiled faces, let me just pause there and explain that in case you don't know the story. So in the Old Testament, Moses went up and saw God. God actually went in front of him. And he got the Ten Commandments, and when he came down from the mountain, his face was shining so brightly that he had to put a veil over him because it was like hurting people's eyes. And so now Paul's saying we have unveiled faces. There's now nothing blocking us between God and the world as we contemplate the Lord's glory. And what is happening? We are being transformed into his image. That's Jesus. We're being transformed to become like him with ever-increasing glory. You see, church, it's not just about a once and now you're perfectly like Jesus. We are always growing in our relationship with him, which is why our mission statement explains that, which is why experiencing life transformation isn't about a one-time thing, it's an all-the-time thing. And our heart for you is you would experience that ever-increasing glory, that ever-increasing transformation to become like Jesus. And that glory comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. To become like Jesus is to eliminate the habits and the thinking patterns that keep you from intimacy with God. And to become like Jesus is to relate to others in a self-giving, loving, and others-oriented way. For that transformation to happen, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And one of the beautiful things that happens is when we see that transformation, when we experience it, you actually also experience a greater and greater sense of being fully alive in Christ. Our core value here is experiencing life transformation. Our fourth core value, the last one we're going to look at, is to extend God's grace to others. I'm not much on biblical languages. I'm not a deep scholar that way. But the Greek word for grace is a word named charis or charis. And it means unmerited favor. It's a word intricately tied together with mercy and forgiveness and blessing of doing good things. Essentially, it's doing good for others even though they don't deserve it. Some people really struggle with this idea. Some people really struggle with the idea that the gospel is not fair. Because it's not. If it were fair, we would get what we deserve. But the gospel is unfair because we have been given what we don't deserve. We've been giving a blessing that we don't deserve. The gospel is 100% rigged in our favor. We are forgiven for what we have done, and we are blessed with gifts that we don't deserve. That's grace. And it's amazing because it changes our whole lives. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, He, talking about God, has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done. It's not because of how awesome we are, how much money we have, how much good we have done in the world. No, we have been called because of His own purpose and grace. God gives us grace. We all get to experience it. And yet we are also called now to extend that grace outwards to other people. Well, how should we do that? Well, we can extend God's grace through our words. Have you ever had an example where somebody has spoken to you and it lifted your whole soul right up? That's God's grace going through that person to you. And some of you have been blessed to be the ones that God has used to show His grace with your words. You can build people up. Second Ephesians, doesn't exist. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, talks about how we are to use God, not let any unwholesome talk come from our mouth, but only that which is used to build others up. Right? We get to build people up. That's an extension of God's grace. We can extend God's grace through our forgiveness. This one sounds to me like such a no-brainer, and yet I think it has been one of maybe the hardest things in churches. I don't know why, as Christians, sometimes we can be so slow to forgive people who have hurt us, who have wronged us, when we ourselves are people who have experienced God's forgiveness for everything we've done, and sometimes we're just so stingy in giving that forgiveness to other people. And there's lots of circumstances and experiences that come into play for it. But we need to extend God's grace to our forgiveness. That's why forgiveness is the number one theme in the New Testament. All of the Gospels talk about forgiving people the way that Jesus has forgiven you, the way God has forgiven you. We need to extend God's grace through forgiveness. So church, when I hurt you, and I know me, I will most likely hurt you and offend you at some point, would you please extend to me God's grace? And I'll promise that if you do something, it's pretty, rare, except for Mike, that guy gets on my nerves. I'm just kidding. I love Mike. It's one of my favorites. But when if you do something that bothers me, I promise I will extend God's grace to you. And maybe when somebody on the other side of the room does it, you could look over at them and say, God forgave me. I'm going to forgive you. And you can let the hostilities go, and we can walk in fellowship together. We can extend God's grace through our forgiveness. We extend God's grace through our service. When people step up and serve, it is a gift of God's grace for me. In my previous church, I was kind of my tech guy. I kind of did everything. I was telling the guys earlier that my belt pack with my microphone had white paint on it, scratched on, from when I used to have to like slide along the wall behind to go fix something in the computer in the middle of church service. Happened all the time. It was a small church plant. That's just the way it was. And so when people here are serving in our tech areas, and I'm like, man, they know more than me. I can just let it go. I can rest. It is a gift of God to me. That when they serve in that area, those running my Pro Presenter right now, those running sound, that is, you are showing me God's grace by serving there. When you come up and you are in communion, if you're an elder, you show me God's grace by caring for people and caring for me and for my family. We get to extend God's grace by serving people because we have been so blessed by God. And we extend God's grace through the sharing of the gospel. That's why it's in our vision statement, to share His love with others. Knowing the eternal realities that the Bible teaches us, the greatest gift of love we could ever give somebody is to share with them the good news that Jesus loves them, that Jesus has died for them, and that Jesus wants to draw them into a family, an imperfect family, a family that doesn't always get it right, but a family nonetheless. A family that wants to walk with them and support them and encourage them, but mostly under a God who just desires them and loves them. When we extend God's grace to people when we share the gospel. Church, our vision is to see all people fully alive in Jesus and sharing his love with others. Our mission is to empower people, to empower you, to grow in a relationship with Jesus through biblical preaching, passionate worship, community service, and intentional relationships. Our core values are to connect with God in prayer and worship. It's loving our neighbor. It's experiencing life transformation. And it's extending God's grace to others. My hope for you is that you will personally experience these things as part of our church family. That you will feel empowered to grow in your relationship with Jesus, and that you will become more fully alive in Christ through it. I also hope that you will walk with us as a church, that you will serve the church and our community by using your gifts, your resources, your skills, your ideas to help people become fully alive in Christ. Because this is not something that the elders do. This is something that we, the church, do. But for today's teaching that focused in on extending God's grace and experiencing life transformation, there's two things I want to close with. One is this. I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider whether there is somebody currently in your life or maybe even in the past that you need to extend God's grace to. That maybe there's a sense of forgiveness you need to do for ways that you've been hurt. Maybe you need to go, I have not been as kind to this coworker, and I need to extend God's grace for them, and God will call you then to bring them donuts tomorrow. Not tomorrow, family day, Tuesday, when we all go back to work. Right? Maybe God will speak to you that way, and I want you to open your hearts and your minds to go, is there somebody that I need to extend God's grace to? Maybe it's my kids. Maybe it's my grandkids. Maybe I need to offer babysitting. Maybe I need to ask for forgiveness. Or maybe I need to even offer forgiveness because they don't even know that they hurt me. I want you to prayerfully consider what God's calling you to for extending God's grace. And I also want to invite you that if you want to pray to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, maybe for the first time, maybe it's just a filling for your life now to help you overcome, to empower you for ministry, I'm going to offer that for you. I'm going to stand in the corner over on this side. This is not my normal side. It's going to feel a little weird to me because we all get into our own sides, but I'm going to stand over on this side, and one of our elders, Tracy, is going to stand in on this side, and if you would like us to pray for you, to be filled with the Spirit, we want to encourage you to come on up during these next couple of songs that the worship team is going to sing, and you can come, and we would love to pray with you. And if you're on the worship team and you want to do that, we'll connect after church service because it's open to everybody. And maybe it'll be even after the service you'd want to come and talk about it and pray for it. That's what we want to do today. We want to invite you to receive the Spirit if you're feeling that calling in your life, whether it's the first time or whether you need the Spirit to help you. And I'm not making any promises that you're going to have this spiritual awakening experience right now. You might not, I don't know, but I do promise this, that our God is faithful to do what he said he's going to do. And if you pray to receive the Spirit, you pray to be filled with the Spirit, he is going to do that. He's going to give you power, power to overcome whatever is holding you back from being fully alive in Jesus. He's going to give you power to testify about the life-changing redemption that you and I get to experience through our faith in Jesus. So if God's laying that on your heart and you want to come and be prayed for, I'll be over here. Tracy will be over here. Worship team, why don't you guys come on up? I'm going to take a few minutes and just pray and then step down here and we'll worship together, church. To you, O gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for today and for this time and the Word. This has been, this was a challenging word this week. God, I needed you to be fill me with the Spirit. And I have noticed as I started praying this that some of the temptations that easily have overtaken me lately didn't have any root in me today, this week. And I noticed, oh God, that when I was angry and frustrated and I prayed to receive the Spirit, you gave me the fruit of that Spirit. You gave me peace and caused me to breathe and relax a little bit that I might apologize and repent before my own daughter. God, you do these things for us because you love us, because you care about us, because you want us to be fully alive. And so, Jesus, if there's somebody in this room today that it needs a filling of your Holy Spirit to help them in their lives, for whatever it is, I pray that you would just impress upon them a desire to come up and be prayed for. To be prayed for by Tracy, who herself is filled with the Spirit. To be prayed for by me. And I pray that God, as we move forward as a church, you help us. We've done the easy part. We wrote the words for the vision statement and the mission statement, the core value. Now comes the hard work of actually trying to live them out and implement. So would you, by your Holy Spirit, empower us to do so? We love you, we thank you, and we worship you in the name of Jesus, who gave his life as a sacrifice of sin for us so that we could be fully alive in him. We pray this in the precious name of Christ. And God's people said, amen.